Last week on Let's Talk Supply Chain, we had two fantastic new episodes for you. In the first, we put the spotlight onto one of our brand new live shows, Relex Talks. On the second Wednesday of every month, Relex Talks will be delivering your dose of industry insights, innovation, and inspiration. And last week's host, Sarah Godet, was joined by Jill Standis and Lawrence Breneg Jones to talk all about the state of supply chain in 2024. They went behind the gloomy headlines and made a strong case that a brighter future awaits. Good to hear, right? They explored partner collaboration, the barriers to improving efficiency, and a new trend that we have TikTok to thank for, surge buying. The second new show last week was this month's episode of Blended, and we talked about allyship. When underrepresented voices talk about their experiences and the challenges they face, they often talk about the importance of allies. And it all sounds so simple, but allyship often comes with a cost or with a sacrifice. And the panel and I really dove into that, as well as the damage that performative allyship is having on those who are genuinely trying to help. It's a tough topic, but one that we all need to think about and be honest about as we strive towards more equitable workplaces and communities. There was a lot to learn from last week's shows, so I hope you enjoyed them. But if you missed either of them, you can catch up over on letstalksupplychain.com. Blended is now moving to blendedpledge.org or on our YouTube channel or anywhere else that you subscribe to the show. Relex Talks was episode 401 and Blended was episode 402. Let's Talk Supply Chain is not your average supply chain podcast. We feature not just the top of the industry, but also diverse voices from within the community, new innovations, and the disruptors making waves in the industry. Don't listen to the same old, same old. Be sparked by new ideas and fresh perspectives only on Let's Talk Supply Chain.
Are you ready to find your people? If you're struggling to find a supply chain community of like-minded professionals where you can level up, network, learn about best practices from experts in supply chain, professional development, and marketing, look no further. We created the Secret Society of Supply Chain to provide a safe space, a community for everyone in supply chain. We offer unique opportunities for everyone to connect and grow in our three distinct value-packed communities, the Supply Chainers, Women in Supply Chain, and the Creative Room. From the learn at your own pace, content-rich approach of the Supply Chainers to the empowering community-focused space of Women in Supply Chain and the marketing mastermind of the Creative Room, we mean it when we say there's truly a place for everyone. When you join one of our communities, you'll gain access to a wealth of knowledge, resources, expertise, and my favorite part, opportunities to build genuine connections with like-minded professionals. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, you'll find a supportive and collaborative environment that fosters learning, connection, and long-term growth. Head over to secretsocietyofsupplychain.com to explore which community was made for you.
Everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Supply Chain. Before we start, here's a question to get you thinking. So omnichannel e-commerce is a rapidly growing strategy that is dominating retail conversations. So according to a recent study, what percentage of retailers retained customers utilizing a robust omnichannel approach? I'm thinking a decent percentage, but what do you think? I mean, let me know your guesses over on social and keep listening because I'll let you know by the end of the show. So today I'm joined by a company with an admirable mission. They envision a world where online and offline customer experiences merge, where brands interact with shoppers in novel ways and escape their limitations to provide smoother customer experiences without disruption. That is a vision I can certainly get on board with, but who does it belong to? Well, I'll reveal it all after the question of the week. So the question that we asked you, how do you stay organized? We had almost 300 votes and 44%, a resounding 44% of you said Google Calendar. 31% of you said paper planner. Those are my people. 14% of you said Post-it notes. Wow, I would have a lot of Post-it notes. And 12% said other. Headier says Notion 100%, Helmet, Outlook calendar and planner of tasks in MS Teams. Lisa, calendar and notes in my iPhone. Angela says calendar for planning in the future. Then the week of, it's really helpful to have a physical printout on my desk. Audrey says it's actually a combo of Google and paper. She's my girl. Fabiola, a mix of paper and electronic. That's totally me too. Eunice, all of the above. Peyton, Google Calendar, Google Drive, Monday, and integrating pretty much everything into Slack. John says Outlook task list calendar all the way. And Mario said, that's a good question for my ADHD. Hannah says all three. And George says my wife. Okay. Leah Clement says all of the above. Well, thank you so much to everybody who weighed in on the question of the week. We ask you a question every single Wednesday morning across the Let's Talk Supply Chain LinkedIn and Instagram. So go be part of the conversation and, yeah, we'll see you there every Wednesday. Now back to today's episode. And which omnichannel e-commerce brand is joining me today? Well, it's Delivery Solutions. Delivery Solutions' suite of omnichannel experience products for everything after the sale helps enterprise retailers scale with flexible options that boost savings and brand loyalty. Designed with customer experience in mind, their system provides retailers with unprecedented insight into efficiency gaps, AI-powered analytics, and access to new revenue streams, which we all love. And it's Amy Leachman, Director of Enterprise Accounts, that is joining me for the show today. Amy is a seasoned professional with a diverse background in retail, e-commerce, healthcare, and publishing. And with a passion for using technology to solve complex problems, Amy is dedicated to providing the innovative direction that retailers need to thrive in today's competitive landscape. Today, Amy and I will be talking all about Delivery Solutions and what they do, the landscape of e-commerce, and the growing importance of omnichannel strategies, why diversification of providers and solutions is vital, and finding the balance between customer experience, cost, and sustainability. So welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks, Sarah. Super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here because there's a lot I want to ask you. I'm really enjoying the conversations I'm having at the moment around e-commerce, customer experience, and it's just exciting to see the future of retail evolving and being defined right in front of our eyes. And I think it's organizations like yours that are helping to drive this effective, seamless sort of future for us all. So I want to know how you're doing it. And I want to give our audience a glimpse into how you're doing it as well. So let's set the scene and talk about the landscape of e-commerce and the growing importance of omnichannel strategies. I mean, the industry really is evolving so rapidly. So talk us through how things have changed over the last few years and maybe paint us a picture of where we are right now.
Yeah, great question. So as we think about e-commerce and delivery, COVID really shaped or accelerated the business in ways that I don't think any marketing capabilities, and no offense to any marketers out there, but the acceleration and the need for last mile delivery and delivery in totality and how we think about true retail operations and technology has really morphed over the last, 4 years. And a lot of that is going to be based off of how the customers expect to buy different products. So they're expecting to buy them on their mobile phones versus being, you know, at their desktop where they might have done that prior to COVID. So just how customers are buying have really morphed. How their expectations and how retailers are meeting them with personalization is really key these days. And then making sure in that competitive landscape, once they have that foothold of that customer, they're keeping them. They're keeping those loyal customers coming back. They're building those bigger baskets. They're coming back into the stores in an omnichannel approach, whether it's in store, it's pickup, or for delivery. They're really meeting those customers where they are. And really, I believe COVID set the foundation of those expectations, and they did that by way of technology. And so where we're going and where we'll continue to go, or from my beliefs, retailers are going to continue to meet the customer where they are based off of their buying habits and that ever-evolving technology solution that they can provide them, and where they can meet them in a convenient atmosphere. Where am I going to buy? Where am I purchasing? How am I purchasing? And when am I purchasing? and really meeting them where they want to be.
Yeah. Well, and I also think shipping times too. I was on a panel in February and I think somebody said that nobody pushes the buy button or a big percentage of consumers do not hit that buy button unless it says something like next day delivery or something like that.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I was speaking with one of our existing retailers and it's everyone has this Amazon effect where the expectation is I'm going to get that in 2 days. And if a retailer can cut that down by next day rather than a 2 day delivery, you're really creating that desire to have that product sooner than later. It's almost a that ticking time bomb that you see. If I place it today, I can get it tomorrow. And so really creating that need where, you know, it's not just a 7 day delivery anymore. You're expecting it tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned personalization too, right? A lot of retailers are looking at providing that custom option. And I think people want to see that in their delivery options as well. They want to be able to say, well, maybe I don't need it next day. Hopefully they'll still press the buy button. Maybe I do only need it in 3 to 4 days. But when I do need it same day or next day, that option is available. And I know we're going to get into more of that. But with all of that in mind, what are some of the challenges that organizations are facing? And what are the opportunities to get ahead and achieve that competitive advantage?
Yeah, you know, everyone's going to say cost, whether it's labor costs, whether it's technology cost, or whether it's, you know, that outsourced DSP or delivery service provider cost. It comes at an expense of continuing to bring that customer back. So when I think about it, or we think about it at Delivery Solutions, it's going to be cost and control. How do they get out ahead of the costs that it takes to really solve the problem, that complex problem of how the customer is going to get it, and how do we put the control back in the customer, and even more so the retailer, to get that to the customer. And so those are two things that we're seeing a lot of: how can I get it to my customer quick but cost effectively, and how can I make sure that I'm controlling that message and that narrative so they feel as if they're a brand extension of, you know, I'm purchasing it from Sephora.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of that is also packaging, I think. I think a lot of retailers sort of miss that opportunity to brand the packaging, which kind of extends into that customer experience, no matter who's delivering it, because when you get it, you're opening it and it's got all that branding on it. So where do you fit in? Like, who is Delivery Solutions? What do you do? How do you help your customers?
Yeah. So Delivery Solutions is a seamless omnichannel experience for everything post-purchase. So when you think, okay, I'm placing my order, how am I going to get that? Is it same day? Is it within 1 hour? Is it curbside? We really round everything out with our post-purchase communication and returns capability. So once you've placed that item in the cart, you've selected how you're going to pick up that item, Delivery Solutions helps retailers orchestrate, leveraging our tooling, what is the most cost-effective way for the retailer, as well as putting the control back in their hands of how I'm going to control the message to know how and when that order will be delivered.
Well, and I think providing that consumer with some of those options as well. Like, I've been seeing more and more options. You can get it delivered, and then there's lots of different windows for that. You can pick it up maybe from a store, which also helps the retailers utilize some of the bricks and mortar space that they have currently that they've never kind of used in that way before. But there's also, I think, you know, ways to be able to deliver it to a facility where they can pick it up closer to their home. So are you helping, you know, with all of those options for the consumer?
You're exactly right. And the value too, from a Delivery solution standpoint, is we're a single API integration. So as we talked about cost, and that tech stack and simplifying that tech stack, you know, COVID kind of rushed everyone to say, I need to integrate here, there, and everywhere. Yep. And so you're looking at your tech stack and you're saying, gosh, I have 9-10 different integrations for everything post-click or post-placing that order. How do I simplify that? How do I simplify the maintenance and the cost to uphold all of those API integrations? But how do I also allow my customer to meet them from, you know, a delivery speed, a curbside offering? And how do I make sure they know this order is coming from Total Wine, but by way of a delivery partner like a DoorDash or an Uber, really controlling that message and that cost?
That is a really good point that we don't talk a lot about. When you have too much technology at play, Right. And maybe they're stacked on top of each other, whatever that looks like for that particular retailer. It's a lot to manage. It's a lot to manage from a vendor perspective. It's a lot to manage maybe when one goes down and maybe you don't even realize it because you're not watching it constantly. And it's a lot to manage from a cost perspective as well. I mean, that's a big deal.
That you're right. And I got to know Delivery Solutions, gosh, 5-6 years ago when I was at a DSP. And, you know, at the time, I wanted direct integrations. It made the most sense for my business at the time. And I can now admittedly say on the other side of it, I see why retailers will want one solution, one contact, one set of data points to manage all of their orders. But then also understand getting customer feedback, how nice it is to have one location to manage all of that information and one API to make sure that is always up and consistent versus, you know, we see retailers go from 9 different API integrations down to our one and they're like, gosh, this is a breath of fresh air. It's one person to reach out to if something goes crazy.
Yeah, it's like such a relief. But the other good point that you made is around data. Who wants to manage all of that good and bad data anyways? We can barely manage what we have right now.
Right. And making sure that there's one consistent notion of how you're measuring your KPIs. Mm-hmm. How confusing is it to go to, you know, one system to another, to an email, to a text message, to Slack and say, here, I'm going to put it on a dashboard. We can serve that up to you really seamlessly so that you can monitor all of your internal KPIs against what your, you know, other partners are working on.
Well, and I want to take a step back for a second because you said you were on the other side.
I was.
What were you doing previously and what made you want to come to this side and get so excited about it? Because I can feel your passion.
Yeah. So I was at Shipt, so pre and post Target acquisition, and I led the rollout of their last mile delivery solution. And so, you know, what excites me about technology and what excites me about supply chain is that when you think about the retail industry, we're leveraging technology to bring them up into essentially the new world, the 21st century, and solving complex problems with technology. And so during my time at Shipt, it was really awesome to understand the technology, how the 1099 gig contractors work, what you can and can't do from like a legality standpoint. But we were seeing and working with a handful of grocery and non-grocery retailers how important that last mile was. And so funny enough, when our now Delivery Solutions co-founders came to me at Shipt and said, hey, Amy, if you want to keep working with, you know, these retailers, you're going to have to integrate with Delivery Solutions. And
that's a good sales pitch.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening, that's a good sales pitch.
Yeah. Kicking and screaming my way into that integration. On the other side of it, I saw how easy and quickly we could integrate partners, especially in 2020, with the help of Delivery Solutions. And so I took some time in the pet telehealth world, which is wild and crazy and completely different. And always had my pulse on supply chain and retail because it's that puzzle that I love putting together to understand how it works. And so when the opportunity presented itself and I was able to see the product and how much the product had grown, it was really impressive because we started as truly just orchestrating same day. And now we have 6 different products that retailers like Sephora, Total Wine, Abercrombie & Fitch are using to really enhance their customer experience.
Awesome. Now let's talk about that customer. We haven't touched on this yet, but I always like to get a sense of who your ideal client is. So am I right in thinking that you only work with enterprise customers or do you have an ideal customer maybe in a particular vertical?
Yeah. So traditionally, we have been, you know, roughly 35% grocery. We work with retailers of all shapes and sizes. So we do have a handful of large enterprise customers, as I mentioned, Sephora, Big Lots, Office Depot, to name a few. But we do also have kind of that mid-market grocery retailer, meeting those retailers where they are, especially when you have a complex tech stack. And so really what we look at here is, you know, number of orders that we can help you solve and simplify across the board, rather than number of location, you know, what your e-com spend is. While that's important, we want to make sure we're providing the best strategy and solution for people across the board.
Amazing. So now you mentioned the term DSP earlier, and I was going to get you to let me know what that was, but I know we're going to talk about it now. So it actually stands for Delivery Service Provider. But I want to talk about the diversification aspect because I think it's a big topic right now. I think organizations are starting to appreciate some of the benefits, thanks in part to the pandemic, but there's still a big question mark over how to make it work effectively. So can you talk to us about why DSP diversification is so important and how you're helping customers to successfully manage those DSPs?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you think about, you know, that simplified tech stack and you think about what retailers, what's important to retailers and what their goals are, it's going to be cost and coverage. Mm-hmm. And when you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of delivery partners across the board, not all are, have the same value prop. And when you think about cost and coverage, each are going to provide a different technology solution, as well as coverage, as well as what they will and won't do with their 1099 contracts or their W-2 employees. So when you think about making sure you have the right assortment, it's very important to diversify in order to make sure you're choosing the most cost-effective, but also those that are hitting the right KPIs. What is your on-time percentage? What is your in-store wait time? How are you making sure that you're meeting the customer? While one DSP might be able to serve you within 30 minutes, the other might drive up to 45 miles to give you that offering. And so being able to leverage and really layer in different DSPs to meet your customer is important from a diversification standpoint. And the other point I'll hit on is, you know, we're seeing a lot of consolidation amongst delivery partners in the market. So, okay. For example, we had, unfortunately, a DSP or a delivery partner shut down overnight. And because our retailers, a handful of our retailers had other backup plans, we were able to flip the switch and not impact the customer at all. So making sure you have those contingency plans, but then also that diversification to meet the customer is really important in order to not disrupt, you know, that customer buying behavior, that loyalty that you've really worked so hard to generate.
Yeah. And it's not even just that instance where that happens. I mean, we're hearing more and more about cybersecurity. And, right. You know, threats to systems, especially supply chain systems. If one of your delivery providers goes down, what is that contingency plan? What are you going to do so you have uninterrupted service? Because if you think about what needs to happen when that happens, I mean, I know the supply chain professionals in the audience are like, oh, there's a whole to-do list, right? Because exactly. You have to go through all the orders that are going to be impacted. You have to reach out to each one of them and make sure that they know what's happening and, you know, what you're doing to fix it and when they're going to get it. And that kind of snowballs because then there's follow-ups and follow-ups and follow-ups until it gets delivered, right?
Exactly.
So there's a lot of different reasons why that could happen.
Totally. And we see it even, you know, when we're doing same day and shipping orchestration and we have feature sets within our system that, you know, when a carrier, for whatever reason, is unable to pick up the order, we have the ability from a diversification standpoint mm-hmm. to have that be a fallback to another. So it's really touchless from a solution standpoint to say, okay, I've set these different rules. Our self-healing, what we call it, technology allows that to go into effect. So you're not, as you were saying, playing that telephone game of I have to communicate to this person and this person. The system and the technology works to really mitigate those issues.
Yeah, or even to have to find a new delivery provider that has the same values and has what you need. I mean, I was in logistics for a very long time and we didn't have this kind of technology. And it just, you know, blows my mind how long I would have had to take on the phone exactly. and research and emails and all sorts of stuff just to find somebody who could take over. But we've talked about, because you're not just diversifying service providers, you're also diversifying delivery options. And we've talked a little bit about this already. Same day, curbside, lockers, a host of different options that really didn't exist a few years ago. Why is it, like, what does it mean for your client and for that end customer experience, maybe even for the industry, to have access easily and simply to a whole wide range of those solutions at their fingertips?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge for the industry. It's huge for the end customer. It's huge for the retailer. You know, when I think about the tech stack and you think about tech resources, they're a dime a dozen.
Oh, and, yes.
You know, really seeing that as a opportunity to differentiate yourself and make sure that loyalty inside your four walls from the technology center is really comfortable and confident. No one likes that knee-jerk reaction of, I have to go here, I have to go there. So giving that consistency and that simplicity to your tech teams is awesome. And, you know, it filters down to your customer and those in-store individuals and making sure that, you know, we have that control, we have that loyalty, not just with our HQ employees, but also with our customers, because we always know what to expect. And when something does go wrong, because heaven forbid it does, mm-hmm. we then have the ability to there's not a hiccup. And even as the end customer is not feeling it. So when you think about what that means to the industry, it's really coming together to simplify the omnichannel to say, we're all in this together. We want to work with the delivery partners. We want to work with the shipping carriers. We want to make sure the communication is very clean and concise and proactive, because at the end of the day, the more the customer is buying and the more opportunities they have to interact with the brand, we all win together. So it's kind of all ships rise if we can be able to communicate really, really well across all platforms.
Something a true supply chain professional would say, all ships rise. but exactly. I want to also say, like, think about the plethora of data that right. comes with offering all those solutions. Right. You can really get a better understanding of that particular customer and even maybe customize it so that that option comes up first for them, or different things like that, that you can do down the road to really personalize the experience, because that's what consumers want. And so you're right. really able to understand that particular person and what they want from you as a retailer in a variety of different ways. It can also help with, you know, where do we want to warehouse? Where do we want to put product, right? Depending on where they are and how they want it delivered. So I just, you know, that there's a lot to say about that. But let's talk about sustainability. Now, ESG goals obviously are high on the priority list for a lot of retailers. Consumers are holding retailers to task, but it is a balancing act. We want to service clients with a host of options, but how do we fulfill those varying demands and expectations while still trying to work towards ESG goals? So how are you helping clients to manage that?
Yeah. So as we think about the true bread and butter of our solution, it's going to be at the orchestration level, down to the store level, down to the package level, down to the SKU level. And what we can and have the ability to do is leverage different delivery partners that might have a smaller carbon footprint, that are willing to take it within different confines to make sure we're putting all of the packages in one box rather than individual boxes. And so based off of those orchestration rules, we can then allow which provider we want to make that order or have that order delivered. And you hit on the personalization. We know some customers, while right, wrong, or indifferent, are more in tune to this. And you might have that information from a loyalty standpoint. When you're placing that order, it's important we get that data to be able to say, okay, based off of our orchestration, we want this to go with this delivery partner because they are going to check that box with the customer and it's really going to make them more of a sticky customer. And then on the flip side with our returns product, how do we make sure from a consolidation center, we're making the limitless number of packages or the same amount of packages go within one box to reduce that carbon footprint. So really leveraging that orchestration, whether it's at delivery or on the returns aspect, to get those products back to where they need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's top of mind for everybody. Consumers might choose that delivery option based on how they feel about sustainability and what they feel is going to reduce even their carbon footprint. I mean, we're seeing options all the time. Right? Do we want to offset? Do we want to reduce the carbon footprint? Here are your options to be able to do that. And people are getting used to seeing that. So this is one of my favorite parts of the conversation. Can you share a case study with us detailing exactly how you've helped a client? Like, what was the challenge that they came to you with? Which solution did they utilize? And what was the ROI and benefit of working with you?
Yeah. So we, as I mentioned, we have 5 different products here at Delivery Solutions. So you have your delivery capability, you have your curbside offering, you have post-purchase, you have returns, and then you have your return or you have your fleet solution. And when you think about that, all those 5 products can have kind of a spider web to multiple providers. So in totality, as I mentioned, this retailer had over 9 different integrations.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. When you think about annualizing that out, you know, typically you see about a $25,000 integration fee per provider on top of $150,000 from a maintenance. So in total, that was roughly about $1.5 million to maintain all of these integrations. And so we had a retailer come to us and say, we've got to simplify. We need more delivery partners, but we can't continue this kind of monotony of integrate another one to make sure we're meeting that customer demand. That diversification was super important. And so we worked with a retailer in order to do that, to take them. They had three different specific delivery partners, and they wanted to simplify their tech stack. So they went from 3 to 7 by way of one direct integration with delivery solutions. They saw roughly a 35% increase in order volume year over year, and they kept that consistent on-time percentage to deliver the best-in-class experience, not just for their customer, but for their in-store teams. It wasn't who's showing up now, how do I communicate, how do I make sure my in-store wait time is really small. We really wanted to make sure that the store teams, the HQ individuals, the customers felt the difference, and being able to leverage all of that within the platform from an analytics standpoint allowed them to measure day over day, week over week. And not just that, it allowed them to really plan out their labor to say, okay, based off of buying habits, I know when to schedule this type of labor in our curbside offering to make sure deliveries are picked and packed and ready to go. So it didn't just impact that technology sector of the business. It was kind of in totality, but it really started with technology throwing up their hands, saying, we can't do another integration. We need some help. And we saw the trickle down effect that we were able to bring.
Yeah. They don't have time, energy to be able to do all of this, but
exactly.
You know, you brought up a really great point around ROI. It's not always just the savings. So they did save on a technology standpoint because they've reduced the amount of work that their technology teams had to do, the amount they were spending on maintenance and just integrate. Like, that is crazy numbers to me, but their revenue went up 35%. Like, that's a really, really big deal. I don't want to let that one slide. And then internally, the team was happy.
Right. Exactly.
You made their job easier, and they were able to do other things, which I really think when we talk about ROI, those are key points. It's not just about the amount of money that we're going to spend that you can see right off the bat. It's about some of those other things that come into play. But I do want to talk about the technology, right? Because it's still one of the most important topics in the industry. Integration, interoperability are some of the biggest talking points within it. And you say that your platform will be the last omni-channel integration clients will ever have to do. And that's a game changer. Can you talk to us about the tech? Maybe talk to us about the onboarding, because, you know, some people listening to this are going to be like, you know, there's those maintenance costs still potentially. Yeah. I don't know. There's onboarding. You know, I need to find out if my tech team even has time for this. Like, so many different questions about working with a new technology provider. So can you answer all of that for me?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we pride ourselves on is it's an honor to work with these retailers, and we truly feel that we are an extension of their brand. And that only starts at, you know, essentially that sales process and that sales handoff. We have a fabulous implementation team that is a part of that sales process to really scope what integrations look like, to make sure we understand what does your OMS look like? What does your TMS look like? What do these solutions look like? So that we can give you a realistic onboarding plan, because no one likes to walk in and say, oh, we can onboard you in 2 weeks. And then you get into the technology and you're like, that really doesn't work.
No.
And
so,
in working with our implementation team, we have a really deep dive in the technical aspects. We understand who the key decision makers are. What are their goals? How are they measured within their teams? And how do we make sure we're hitting on those? And really, as we walk through the product, we understand what goals we're trying to solve. We then map out what our implementation looks like. So I don't want to give you kind of we launch typically in 90 days. It's going to be dependent on what the retailer's tech stack looks like and what complex problem we're looking to solve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, throughout that process, we have an amazing CRM team and support team that's typically answering support tickets for, you know, any questions, whether it's an analytics questions or how do I set up a new orchestration rule, you know, in sub 10 minutes. So from a CSAT standpoint and NPS, our teams are phenomenal in how we really put the customer first. But again, it goes back to being an extension of their brand. We're only as good as their front-end solution and how their customers interact. And so as we work through, we always work through joint business plans. We always work through QBRs because a lot of our great ideas come from our partners to say, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? Mm-hmm. So our technology team and our product teams do a phenomenal job of understanding, you know, what's going on in the industry and how do we differentiate ourselves? But how do we do it simply? Because if we make it more complex, we've lost our mission and we've lost what we're hoping to accomplish. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's also like an element of entangling what's already there.
Yep,
so
exactly.
That you can come in and really streamline everything. And so that's got to be part of that process as well. And that will determine how long it's going to take too, I would assume.
Correct. Yep. That tangly web can be difficult.
All right. So let's talk about data, AI, and machine learning. How does all of that tie into it? Because you know, people, they want to use AI. They're not sure where it should fit in. They want to use data, but they don't know how to analyze it effectively. How are you solving those issues for clients, giving them the information they need? And what is the impact of that?
So as we think about setting up orchestration and we set up our rules for our retailers, we hit on it a little bit when you play that telephone game. When something doesn't go as planned, what do you do next? And so through our data and analytics and even our setup of our carriers, we have the ability to proactively self-heal orders. So how do we make sure that retailers, customers never feel the impact when a delivery partner might say, hey, yes, I can pick that order up at 11 o'clock, but in fact, they don't arrive till 2 o'clock. We have the ability to proactively clone that order, make sure that goes to a different delivery provider where the store teams and the HQ teams have no insights that change happened and the customer promise is still met. So leveraging that data, leveraging that technology allows us to then make sure that the customer experience is very crisp and clean. And then we use that information to help inform the retailers as to how the performance looks. So you have your actuals of how the customer performed, but then you also have your contracted performance between your delivery partners. We will always be a provider that is not going to push one delivery partner over another. We're really just a tool to help make sure that retailers make the best choice for themselves. And so leveraging that data clean, clear, and crisp in a very digestible way is really, really important so that they can make the best business decisions for themselves.
Well, do we really need to know everything that's going on? If some of it can be done in the back end and we can just know later, as long as it gets delivered on time to the client,
right.
I mean, we might have to give up a little bit of control on that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, at the end of the day, did the customer promise, was that hit? Yes or no?
Right.
And that's, if we need to dig into more from a contracting standpoint or expectations or setting those SLAs, we can do that. But from a high level, it's been really important.
I like that. It might be a bit of an adjustment, but I like that a lot. So what does the future hold? What can we expect from delivery solutions, but also what can we expect from the industry? I mean, omnichannel e-commerce is growing rapidly. I mean, what are the trends we should be looking out for in 2024 and maybe even 2025?
Yeah. So we talked a lot about kind of that outbound transportation and making sure the goods get to the customers. And we know the big opportunity is returns and making sure that returns are getting back either quickly or in a cost-effective manner. And so you'll really see us continuing to double down on returns. While we have all those order details, when you send us same day or shipping orders or curbside orders, it's very easy for us to provide a streamlined retail branded experience that doesn't inhibit any of your customer communication today. So I think returns is big. Just coming back from Shop Talk, everyone was talking about returns and how do you do it well. So we'll continue to see that and double down and work with retailers to solve that solution. We also have a big opportunity as we think about the evolution of orchestrating on owned vehicles. So I know there's you know, fleet solutions, there's drones, there's lockers. So how do we continue to meet the customer, meaning the retailer, where they are and how they want to offer that to their retail or to their customers? And so I think the opportunities are endless, but how are we going to differentiate ourselves and how are we going to continue to do what's really simple is leveraging that single API integration to unlock, you know, essentially that web of what was there before in a very clean and concise way.
I love to hear that you're going to double down on returns. I recently had an experience with a large brand that most people know about where they shipped me the product didn't fit. So I submitted a return ticket right away. It took them 60 days to get back to me, where wow. that product was sitting under my desk waiting for that label right. to be able to put it on the box and be able to send it back. And all I kept thinking every single day was how much money was sitting in my house exactly. for that long. Because it's not just about the experience. Of course, it's the experience, but it's also about how much capital do you have out there in the market that you're not actually bringing back so that right. you can make the revenue on it that you need to be able to make. So just an example, and I think it's huge that you are focusing on returns. So totally. In today's competitive market, retailers face tough challenges if they want to stay afloat, from rising costs and ongoing disruptions to increasingly discerning customers. Those challenges are complex, interconnected, and expensive. And omnichannel supply chains hold huge potential for cutting costs, enhancing customer experience, and delivering a competitive advantage. However, their success relies on a commitment to agility, data-driven decision-making, and a customer-centric mindset. That's why you need a partner like Delivery Solutions. They understand the opportunities and challenges, and their omnichannel orchestration technology can help you integrate all aspects of your supply chain and offer a unified retail experience to your customers. If you want to find out more, you can check them out at deliverysolutions.co. And did you have a guess at today's big question? Well, at the top of the show, I asked you, according to a recent study, what percentage of retailers retained customers utilizing a robust omnichannel approach? Well, retailers with a robust omnichannel approach retained over 89% of their customers compared to those that are weak in this area. And omnichannel customer engagement companies will see a 9.5% rise in annual revenue as opposed to just 3.4% for companies without this strategy. So even more proof that omnichannel needs to be high on your priority list for 2024. Amy, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. And thanks so much to your team for making this happen.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's been great chatting with you.
Did you know that the average cost of losing an hourly supply chain worker has reached $19,607? And that recent research shows that 77% of hourly supply chain workers are considering a job change in the next 3 months. This could have a huge impact on your productivity, bottom line, and culture. Workstep is helping supply chain companies to better engage their distributed hourly workforce at scale. Understand the true reasons behind their workforce turnover and take actions to make positive changes and reduce attrition. Workstep has successfully helped many companies reduce their frontline worker turnover by up to 36%. Visit workstep.com to learn more. If you would like to hear more from us, we have plenty more content for you featuring the best and brightest in the industry. Head over to letstalksupplychain.com to check out the latest. And if you have a supply chain challenge and you're looking for a solution, they have most likely been on our show after 400 episodes. So use the search bar on our website, put in the keyword, and all of those solutions will come up and you'll be able to listen and learn to see if they are the right fit for you. And remember to come back next week, and I'm going to be joined by Evan Shelley, co-founder and CEO at Truck Parking Club. Trucking has really hit the headlines the last few years, and the lack of space and secure parking for truckers has been a growing issue. But Truck Parking Club are really looking to reshape the entire trucking landscape, and their innovative parking solutions are key to that. So I'm looking forward to asking Evan about his entrepreneurial journey and why he founded Truck Parking Club. And I'll be quizzing him on creating technology that truckers actually want to use, the power to be found in collaboration, and how Truck Parking Club have become an influential force in transforming how trucking logistics operates. This is a conversation that impacts everyone in supply chain, so you won't want to miss it. If you enjoy our show, there's a few ways to support us. You can follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. We're also over on TikTok. We're also over on TikTok. And you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter over at letstalksupplychain.com so you can stay in the know, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Supply Chain. You can also find some really cool merch for the supply chainer in your life. We've got t-shirts, bottles, we've got tote bags, and so much more in our shop at letstalksupplychain.com. And if you are looking for a supply chain community where you can network, learn from the best with exclusive content, maybe get into one of our virtual monthly meetups for marketing professionals or women in supply chain, we have the place for you. Now, it's called the Secret Society of Supply Chain, and we have a membership group for everybody. No matter what you're looking for, no matter what connections you're looking for, we have a group for you. So head over to secretsocietyofsupplychain.com to find out more and to sign up today and see what all the fuss is about. All right. And if you want to be featured on an upcoming episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show.
Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. And remember, ship happens.